in the book of Romans in chapter 4, and I'll read verses 1 through 12, I think. Probably should be good. Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the righteousness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned when he was in uncircumcision or in circumcision or uncircumcision, but not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision? And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believed, though he be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. Well, we find that this chapter, of course, gets into that doctrine more fully of the justification by faith. That is, it's illustrated in the life of Abraham. I suppose if we were to pick out a character in the Old Testament that stands out more fully to us than others, probably Abraham would be that character, as he represents the father of the nation of Israel, in that he was called of God out of his far distant country of Chaldea, and that he was told to seek a land and a country that God would give to him for an inheritance, and that inheritance would be one of God alone and by the very blessing of God. And that Abraham himself, being such a man as he was, believed God and trusted in God. And that trust in God, that faith in God, was that which was accounted unto him for righteousness' sake. And so true faith is not owed a person. But we find that we are giving true faith by the grace of God. True faith is not owed a person. You know, sometimes people have the notion that if they are just good enough, they can merit some privilege with God. And probably in the back of our mind, even we who are here, there are times when we might think, if I can only be good enough, God will be more pleased with me than at other times. And we entertain that because basically down deep inside of us, we want to please God, and we think the things that we do are going to please Him much more than we know from what the Word of God says, that works in themselves do not make one right with God, that justification is by faith alone through Jesus Christ. But here we have a very important Old Testament figure, of course, being used as an example, saying that true faith is not owed a person, but given by grace. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. And so that is truly a profound statement that we read in the Word of God. And of course, it does destroy the hopes of many in relation to their works, to their ability to do good things, whether it is to be a philanthropist and to give to the poor, or to somehow earn or merit certain things through spiritual work, as we might put it. And I suppose we have always admired those who were so spiritual. We might call it being spiritual. I mean, whether it's a Mother Teresa or a Gandhi or somebody else who is a very well-known figure, we might admire people who are very dedicated and very disciplined and in some sense very spiritual. But we know that even if we could be the most dedicated and disciplined person possible, we still could not merit our own righteousness. And that is the point of the apostle, of course, and he, of course, this is, comes right after the other chapters which we've already looked at and which he has outlined most seriously, saying that the whole world is guilty before God. There is none righteous, no, not one. That he also outlined that those who were morally religious, morally only, they were not right with God in and of themselves. And those who were morally and religiously and Jewish in their heritage could not attain unto the righteousness of God except by faith. One could not attain unto the righteousness of God by the works of the law. And that did not mean that the law itself was in error. It only meant that the law was to show the unrighteousness of man or the sin of man, and was not the means of justification by faith. But that justification by faith should come through Jesus Christ alone. And so true faith is not owed a person. God doesn't owe us anything in that regard. But we find that true faith comes through the grace of God alone. And so as we read here in verse 1 of chapter 4, what shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. In other words, Abraham does not have the substantial amount of works that he can somehow glory before God, because that is not possible. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness sake. God reckoned it. God accounted it to Abraham as a matter of faith, because he believed God. He took God at his word and trusted in God. And it is interesting that even after we come to faith in Christ, we find that it is no less important for us to trust God. Because we find that as we trust in God, we do take him at his word, and we do walk with him in faith. And that faith is that also assurance of our true salvation, which is in Christ. But justification by faith is not owed. We find that it is freely given by the grace of God. Secondly, proof of righteousness by faith is shown to us as we read on. In verse 4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. That is, of something that is owed. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. And so we find that the psalmist did declare that the righteousness of God is that which comes by faith. And so saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And so we find that David attested to this same thing, that the righteousness